I hope you saw our interview with, I hope, first of all, I hope you've read The Martian.
I have not.
You haven't read it?
Martian. No. I don't have a whole lot of time to read. I suppose I should.
That's why Audible.com. Have you ever heard of them?
All right. I do. I love Audible.
It's an awesome book. And you know what? You can read it in a long weekend. It's one of those books you can't put down.
Okay.
So you start, and it's all about astronaut Mark Watley. I don't think it's spoiling anything to say, because you'll learn this in the first few lines, he's stranded on Mars. And it's about the science, the engineering, the ingenuity, the perseverance that gets, well, at least that Mark uses to try to save his keister on Mars. Well, this guy right here, Andy Weir, wrote it. I was so thrilled to meet Andy. Hi, Andy. Good to see you again.
Hi, thanks for having me.
They're making a movie. Now, I think the story of this is great because you self-published this originally.
Initially, I was posting it chapter by chapter to my website. And
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine,
I know, right?
Like, Ridley Scott would be making a movie of your great book?
No, I mean, it's the sort of thing you like fantasize about or daydream about when you're writing. It's like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a movie directed by Ridley Scott starring Matt Damon. Yeah. But I don't really think that's gonna come true. It's kind of like when you're 10 years old playing baseball with your friends and going like, it's the World Series, you know?
Yeah. This bottom of the ninth, I'm up at bat, I'm gonna save the team. Are they still filming? Because we've seen a couple of trailers, an unofficial kind of funny vlog trailer from Matt Damon. Did you love that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there have been three kind of trailers. There's been one theatrical trailer and then two so-called viral videos. And they're called like Ares 3 Live.
Yeah.
And those aren't like unofficial. Those are definitely part of the marketing effort.
Oh, I'm sure.
But they're not like the scenes in those two videos are not in the film.
Right.
Those are just purely marketing material.
Nor are they in the book. But it still brings alive Mark Watley.
They took some elements of the
book.
Did
they? Oh, good. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Now, so are they still filming or are they done?
They're done. They wrapped filming quite a while ago. I want to say like March.
Okay. Did you get to go to the set and watch?
They invited me to the set, but I'm not a real comfortable flyer, and they filmed it in Budapest.
Wait a minute.
So
the guy who wrote The Martian is afraid of flying?
Yeah, I know.
Actually, that makes sense, come to think of it.
Well, I'm getting better at it. I've flown a few times. NASA invited me to do a bunch of VIP tours at Johnson Space Center, and I just couldn't say no to that.
Yeah.
So I had to fly out to Houston for that. Got to fly out to Houston for that. And I'm fighting the fear as best I can, but I wasn't able to steel myself for a flight to Budapest.
I don't blame you, Andy. There's no shame in that. I have turned down the Blue Angels twice.
I
hope you're not going to turn it down a third time.
I will never ever fly in a Blue Angels jet.
I'm telling you that right now.
I'm not insane.
Just let them know if they want somebody. You're sitting right next to him.
So have you talked to Matt Damon a little bit? Did he ask you, give me some motivation for Mark?
No, I haven't spoken to Matt Damon at all yet. I will be seeing him this upcoming week. Not this week, but the next one. I'm going down to L.A. to do a bunch of stuff. I get to watch the film for the first time. I still haven't seen it myself yet. And then there's some marketing
stuff. Yeah. Are you nervous about seeing it?
Exactly.
No, because they included me in the screenplay. They involved me in the screenplay writing. And so, I mean, not deeply. I'm not one of the writers or anything. That was all Drew Goddard, and he did a great job. But they sent me revs of it to get feedback and stuff. And so I know the screenplay. So I'm not worried about, oh, how will they do the adaptation? I know every line in the movie. So,
yeah.
And I'm really happy with it.
Now, you obviously, you're the author of this story. And I know, people who read a story and then see it turned into a movie, they're kind of afraid because they don't want, what they had built up in their mind to be destroyed or changed.
Well,
or they're not ready for the fact that what you see is different than what you read.
Read Andy's book before you go see the movie.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Buy it. You need to really buy the
book. Several copies. Buy several copies. One for every.
You're going to want a hard cover.
Get the audible.
You're going to want to get the audiobook for when you're flying.
No, actually, I'm sincere. I that's my general advice anyways. Yeah. You always want to. If there's spoilers, and there will be spoilers. Mm-hmm. You want them to be in the book because that's the original, and then you can enjoy the movie, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason hasn't read it yet, so my strong advice, read this.
Jason.
I will. Come on, sorry. I'm probably going to listen to it
if that's okay. Yeah. Does Audible work?
The narrator of the audiobook, R.C. Really, Gray.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
He did
an excellent job. It's a fantastic audiobook. Cool. And he won an award for it.
He should.
Yeah. I promise you I will do that.
Then. When Watley does use some strong language.
It's Watney, by
Watney,
the way.
I'm sorry. Watney does use some strong language. And when he does, I think R.C. Bray does such a good job. And I've burst out laughing.
Up the storm really well.
Yeah, I have burst out laughing listening.
Nice.
So this is exciting. Are they deviating from the book very much, or is it going to be?
No, they're following it very well.
Good.
There are parts that got cut because if you tried to put everything in, it'd be a 10-hour movie, right?
Yeah.
So they had to make some cuts, but the things they cut are the things that I would have cut given the same,
Good.
You know, if they said like, okay, you need to cut this down to, what would you cut? Pretty much the same things. So I think Drew and I are very similar when it comes to kind of writing style and what we prioritize. So I think he did a really good job. I think it's going to be a great film. And it's been testing well, too. So, because they show it to test audiences, get feedback and stuff like that. It's all part of the process. And all indications are that it's doing very well.
I can't wait.
Now, Andy, you actually had the opportunity to do what I'm sure a lot of people would love to do and have never had the chance to. You got to talk with Buzz Aldrin. What was that all about?
Yeah, a few times, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Buzz just kind of decided he wanted to talk to me, actually. His PA contacted me and said, yeah, there's a picture of
us. Is he a fan of the book?
I don't know if he's read the book, but he may have listened to it on audiobook or may have read it. He started reading my Facebook posts and then decided he wanted to chat with me about cyclers, moon bases and stuff. And I'm like, sure, I'll talk to Buzz Aldrin. Yeah.
Well, and Buzz, of course, is very much in favor of Mars colonization movement.
Oh, big
Mars.
Time. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure he's interested. Yeah. Wow. That is so cool. I can't let you go. First of all, congratulations.
Thank
you. We're all really excited. The movie comes out for Christmas?
No, it got bumped up. So they're releasing it on October 2nd.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Very cool.
We'll have a party, and I'll toast you. And
you should toast
and
me.
I will toast you. Forget that. Ridley Scott, whoever heard him. But I got to say, you also were in the news lately because your Comcast account got hacked. Tell us about some.
Yeah. Okay. So a hacker got control of my email account, which was a Comcast account. And you may be wondering, what dastardly, incredibly clever scheme did this hacker use to get a hold of my email credentials? Well, what he did was he called Comcast and asked them very nicely for control over the account.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he social engineered it. And so
he pretended to be you, though, right?
Yeah, right. He pretended to be me, called Comcast, got them to do a password reset for him.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he took over my email account. From there, he did, he started doing, forgot password processes for various websites that I'm members of to take over those accounts. He managed to get a hold of Twitter, and thankfully, it looks like he's just some kind of vandal. Like, basically, all he was interested in was vandalizing my Twitter account, because that's basically immediately what he did was he took over my Twitter account and posted a bunch of racist tweets stuff like that. Well, I mean, everybody knew it wasn't me.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
So Twitter, I filled out the form, and they immediately suspended the account, and I was fine.
Good.
I got control of my email account back and kind of changed all my passwords and everything. And then, so while I was talking to Comcast, I said, okay, well, I want to know when the initial password reset happened so I can figure out how long the hacker had control of my email. And it turned out the hacker had control for a little over an hour, which is pretty good, not that bad. And the Comcast rep said, like, oh, yeah, and it was like 6:33 p.m. Your password was changed via a reset by a Comcast customer service.
Oh,
rep.
Man.
And I was like, so the guy social engineered it then. The guy got my password or got control of my account by asking nicely. And they said, no. I mean, he would have had to know a whole bunch of deep information about you to make that happen. He would have needed to know the answers to a lot of detailed questions. And I said, well, I just did the same thing, right? I just called up.
Oh.
And you guys did a password reset for me.
What did they ask
you? The only thing you asked me for was my home address and the last four digits of my social security number.
Wow.
That's it.
I'm sorry, Andy. That's
so. If you
sucks.
Want anybody's Comcast email,
just call them. That's what I do. Just call them up.
Last four of their social. And I don't understand why anybody ever thinks social security numbers are secret or protected data. Everybody has your social security number.
Yeah. But it's all better now,
because they all use it. They all use the last four.
And I was so I'm pretty mad about that.
And of course, you're no longer using Comcast for your main email.
Right. I'm no longer using it for my email. Now I use my Gmail.
What you're using.
No. I have a public email address for people to email me, and, like fans and stuff.
You're
and
an open person. That's great.
For people to email you, you also get fan mail. This stood out to me because I'm from Idaho. Did a fan really send you a potato in the mail?
So you didn't read the book. You don't know what that means.
No, apparently.
Oh, yeah, potatoes play a big part in the book, and I got many potatoes sent to me. And, yeah, there we go. There's the picture.
Why would people send you a potato? Oh, there's your address, by the way. In case you want to hack Andy, just...
it's okay. That's also public. That's my package receiving address.
Oh, okay.
So both of these addresses that I talked about, my email address, which is in my Gmail, and you can find that on my website and stuff, it's all very public. This is for fans to send fan mail and stuff like that.
And potatoes.
The package receiving address is so people can send me books if they want them to be signed and stuff.
Nice.
So it's all very public. Don't worry. There's nothing secret showing up on your show here. And so somebody sent me a potato, and they just wrote the address on the potato, and you can see tape around there because on the other side was the postage.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I think what blows me away is you can do that. You can just put a stamp on a potato and put it in the mail.
You can put a stamp on anything. I could mail you if I wanted to, if you'd sit still.
Okay.
I don't think you can mail living things.
Who said he'd be living? No, I'm just...
This got dark.
It's terrible.
He's going to send me to Mars the next chance
I would mail him to Mars. Andy, you're such a great guy, and you deserve this success. And what's nice is it hasn't gone to your head. You're just a normal guy now and still, and I just love it. And are you right? I think we talked to you. So you're writing a new book, right?
Yeah, I'm working on my next book now. I'm about 75% of the way through first draft. The due date for it is actually today.
Well, that explains why you were so willing to do this interview.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to make that due date, but my editor knows, so that's fine. But part of the reason I'm not making it, and they understand it, is because the movie got bumped up 2 months, and so the marketing push got really compressed, and I've been busy with a lot of that stuff. Even though I'm, like, really, really secondary. I mean, I'm not one of the stars. I'm not the director.
Oh, you're the star to us.
Yeah, well, thank you.
To us, you are more important than Matt Damon or Ridley Scott. You're Andy Weir, the author of The Martian. Oh, and you always will be.
Thanks.
You made it, man. Congratulations.
That's awesome. This has been a cool episode for me to watch, too, because I've been watching the whole episode.
Oh, thank you.
Like, you've been talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, before I quit my day job, I was a mobile app developer.
Right.
So you guys have been talking about, you know, mobile security stuff.
Yep.
And then later on, your advertisement was about, you know,
mobile payments. Yeah.
Like,
if you ever want to get back in the business, I'll hook you up.
I was thinking, what a great advertisement. It specifically says for just 10 lines of code. And it's like, that targets engineers.
Yep. You know what that means.
Like, because first thing I think when they're like, oh, you can integrate this in your app. And I would think, oh, what kind of nightmarish library and crap will that be? And I'm like, 10 lines of code.
I can do that. Andy, you don't have to ever do that again.
Yeah. I liked programming.
Okay.
When I quit my day job, it wasn't like a take this job and shove it thing. No. I liked programming. I liked my coworkers. I liked my job.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great hobby. It's a better hobby than it is profession.
I don't know. I did it for 25 years. I was
really?
Pretty
There was mobile apps 25 years ago?
No, I wasn't doing
mobile. Oh, okay.
No, 25 years ago. So I was one of the programmers on Warcraft 2.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That's how long I've been at it.
Andy Weir, we bow down to you again and again. The more I learn, the more I love this guy. It's so great to talk to you.
I was a junior engineer at the time.
I don't care. That
doesn't matter.
No,
doesn't
stop with that stuff. You were on Warcraft 2, my friend. You were the guy. Tell him this. Stop touching me. You can say,
stop touching me.
Bill. Oh, shoot. Why am I forgetting his name?
Stop. Hello.
Roper. Yep. Bill Roper.
Bill Roper.
The voice that did those.
I love that.
Like, what do you want? Join the army, they said. See the world, they said.
I had such fond memories of that. Andy, great to talk to you. Congratulations. We can't wait till the movie opens. And everybody who hasn't read The Martian must read it now.
Okay, I'll listen to it. I promise.
And you know what?
I've got a credit on Audible.
Steve Gibson, who you just saw doing the security thing, just read it like about 3 weeks ago. And he said, I read it in 2 days. I could not stop. It was awesome. And you know what he did? Because he likes to read on the treadmill. He scanned it in and put it on his Kindle. He bought a copy.
Scanned it rather than just buying the ebook.
Shh. He's a little strange.
It's great. Seems like a lot of work. There's about 20 ways that are better.
I know. He likes to do things by hand.
I would hope that he would, at the very least, just pirate the damn thing.
No. Stop touching me. All right. Thank you, Andy. It's great to talk to you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations. Congrats. Man,
thank you.
Isn't it great? Anywhere, everybody.